Hello, 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 and welcome to the first ever episode of What the Phonics. I am Kim, and I am so excited to be here with you. Let me start with a little bit about myself. I am currently a reading coach, but I've also been a high school English teacher, a middle school English teacher, a long-term sub. I am a mom of two elementary age girls, and I just have always loved to read. So we're going to start with a little bit of my background, because when I was a kid, we had books everywhere. We were always reading. I didn't realize that normal kids didn't go to, well, I won't say normal, but most kids didn't go to the library every week during the summer with multiple books checked out. But that was my family. If I had a word I didn't know how to spell, my mom would make me look it up in the dictionary, which I always thought was very strange, because how can I look it up if I don't know how to spell it? But that's mom logic. I figured it out some kind of way. But yes, we were just always around books. I never really thought about how to read. We just were always reading. And then when I became a secondary teacher, I noticed that, of course, there were a lot of kids that didn't like to read, which is fine. I mean, everyone doesn't like to read. English is not everyone's favorite subject. I get it. But I would see a lot of kids saying whatever that word is, literally whatever that word is, while they were reading aloud, which took more energy to say whatever that word is than to say the word, or at least that's what I thought. I thought that was a lot of extra energy to just avoid saying a word. And I would tell them to sound it out. And if I still saw them struggling, I would just tell them the word so that we could move on. Or they would just guess at a word that had the same beginning letter, beginning couple letters. And I never really could figure out why. It always seemed so strange to me, but I never really could grasp why they were doing that. Or if we read a text, even they read by themselves, or even if we read chorally or I read some, they really did not have a lot of comprehension of a text that we just read. And I thought that they were being lazy, or they were just trying not to work, or they were just over it and being teenagers, or whatever it was. It never even occurred to me that they really didn't understand the things that they were reading. So then when I jumped to elementary school and I see, you know, the very adorable students, and I see some strategies like, let's look at the picture and see what word that could be, or what word makes sense here. And something in my mind, a light bulb went off. It was the craziest moment. It was the moment, really, I decided to do this podcast, because I realized that those strategies, quote unquote, seemed great. And it made the students seem like they could read really well in elementary school. But then when you get to high school and you don't have the pictures or those other clues to help you, now you're struggling even more than you were before. And then I was introduced to the science of reading, which, you know, there's, you know, people have both sides. But what it comes down to is our brain was not wired to read. That was not something we learned how to do. You're not just going to learn how to read if you're surrounded by books. Now, some of us learn a lot easier than others, and we'll talk about that in a little while. But your brain is wired. If you're around people who speak, you will learn to speak for the most part without deficiencies. But reading is different. Your brain is not wired that way. So the science of reading was showing me how there are ways that we can be strategic in teaching our children or adults or anyone, teaching human beings how to read. And the science has been around for a really, really long time, and we're only partially implementing it, which literally was insane to me. But we're just going to talk through this season. Is we're just going to do a little bit. We're going to kind of have a smorgasbord. I'm going to talk a little bit about the science of reading, some of the basic things that we need to read, phonemic awareness, phonics, vocabulary, fluency, comprehension. So as we go into this season, I'm going to break each of those things down a little bit more, but I am going to give you just a quick little, you know, hint tidbit in just a minute. We're also going to talk about Scarborough's rope, which, again, a lot of these things are things that I didn't even know existed until not that long ago. But I do want to give you just a few stats before we dig in too far. 30%. That is the percentage of people who can learn to read regardless of how they're taught. Even with the look at the pictures and figure out the word. Even, which I'm sure I was getting taught that strategy. I don't remember how I learned how to read because that was quite a few years ago. But I'm certain that there was definitely some look at the picture and figure it out type things. 50% need that more explicit instruction, that very systematic, making sure you're teaching things in an order with a scope and sequence. And then 15% need some additional time. But if you add all that up, carry the one and the five, you know, I am in reading, but I do also enjoy math. That means that 95% of students can learn to read as long as we maybe tweak and adjust what we're doing. 95%, which is much higher than what we currently have going on just in general as far as fluent readers. And on the flip side, we actually have the dark side of people not reading. 3 out of 5 people in prison are illiterate. And 85% of children in juvenile detention facilities are illiterate, or at some level of underliterate, not able to read at the level where they should be at. So we have to ask ourselves, why are we politicizing education? And this podcast is not about politics, but I'm just saying, if there are ways that we can get our babies to read, that's what we need to do. We need to do whatever we can so that we can get them to read. So that's why I'm here. Let's lighten the mood a little. I'm here so we can figure this thing out, so we can find some easy ways. Let me not say easy ways. We can find some tips, some resources. I can give you some things that you can do as a teacher or as a parent to help whoever it is that's around you that you want to be a better reader. It could be yourself. And that's kind of the journey that we're going to take together. I'm going to just give you kind of a brief overview of each of those 5 basics of the science of reading so that you kind of know which episode is going to be most useful for you. But if you're anything like I was not that long ago, some of these words are words that you may have never even heard. So I would love to see you join me for all of the episodes, but if you know there's a specific area of weakness for you or whoever it is that you're trying to help read, that will help kind of guide you so that you know, you have your roadmap so we can be on this journey together. Before I introduce you to the big 5, let me take one tiny step back and talk about phonological awareness, which sounds a lot like phonemic awareness, but it's not exactly. Phonemic awareness is part of phonological awareness, and phonological awareness is actually a pre-reading skill. So this is something you could be working on with even babies. As soon as they can start to talk and understand words, you can be working on phonological awareness. And it's basically just the awareness or the recognition that words are made up of sounds. So phonemes are the smallest sound, but phonological awareness means that you could break the words down into syllables, the beginning, which is the onset, and the rhyme, which is the end of the word, phonemes, or even counting words in a sentence. So that's something else that you could be working on with your kids. And again, I will have a whole entire episode. The next episode, actually, episode 2, will be about phonological awareness. But it is an oral activity, and it is being able to count the sounds and even manipulate. But it's knowing the sounds that are either in a sentence or in a word, as opposed to the phonemes, which is a very small unit of sound. So again, phonological awareness is a pre-reading activity. It's not part of the big 5, but it is something you could definitely work on with your kids before they're even trying to read. So we're going to start off with phonemic awareness, which is basically the mental awareness, the ability to recognize and manipulate phonemes, which are just the smallest mental unit of sound in the English language. Well, in any language, but the phoneme is the sounds that you hear. So the ability to take the word cat and break it into those phonemes, the k, e, t sounds. And also to know that if I take away the k sound and add a b sound, that now I have the word bat. So phonemic awareness is obviously going to be very foundational for someone who's learning to read, but it's just, and again, I said, I will be going into each of these in more detail and giving them their own episode, but I just want to give you an overview. So phonemic awareness is one of the, we're going to call them the big five that are imperative for a strong reader. So just recognizing and being able to manipulate those sounds. The next one is phonics. Hooked on phonics, work for me. I never really knew what that meant, and I just aged myself maybe a little bit. Let people know if you left, then good for you. But phonics is knowing now that those phonemes have letters and being able to know what letters make those sounds. And that, you know, in English, we have a lot of different letters that can be blended different ways to make those sounds. That's number two. Number three is vocabulary. An important part of this, too, is that students, children, adults, anyone learning to read have an oral vocabulary and that written vocabulary. So when you are reading to, let's say you are trying to teach a child, let's say pre-K or someone that's 3 or 4 years old, and you're trying to teach them to read, you can read them books that are way above the level that they could read. Those read alouds are important because now you're increasing their oral vocabulary. The words that they know how to say, they know what they mean. They don't have to know how to spell them, but it allows that cognitive ability. It's giving your brain something for new information to stick to. And when they start to read, now they have a little bit of background knowledge for those words to stick to. So your vocabulary does not have, that doesn't mean that we're giving your child a vocabulary test or a quiz. It just means to make sure to expose them to language that may be above where their reading ability is, but it just allows them to be exposed to new words as much as possible. That was three, vocabulary. The next one is fluency. Fluency is just reading as we speak. Making sure you're not reading too fast so that you're missing words. I know there was a time when I was in school and we had this little bar that was on the book and it went really, really, really fast. And you had to be able to read a certain number of words per minute. While it is important for students to read, or people, just people, I keep saying students, that's the teacher in me. Sorry, but it is important for us to read at a speed that we are comprehending. Speed is not the only thing. So reading really, really fast doesn't make you a better reader necessarily. But fluency is important. So they need to read. We need to be able to read at a speed that's not too fast or too slow. Because if you read too slow, it can also affect comprehension because you don't even remember the words you read before that. If I were to do this whole podcast that way, I would no longer have anyone listening to me. Not only is it really stressful for me to even hear, you don't remember the words that came before, so it makes it hard to have that comprehension. And also fluency has to do with those pauses, making sure you're reading again as we speak, making sure you take those breaths in the right space and things like that. And the last one is comprehension. That's what we want. That's the goal, for us to have comprehension. And there are several things that need to go in or be working correctly in order for comprehension to happen. And again, we'll talk about all of these in detail, but comprehension is that's the gold star. You want to be able to take in this information and actually understand and be able to manipulate it. If you can only give me back what I gave you exactly, then you aren't comprehending. For you to really be comprehending, you need to be able to answer questions that are not right there in the text. You need to be able to analyze and look at things in greater detail. And obviously, depending on the age of the reader, those questions are going to be a different level of challenge just because your background knowledge is different. You understand people differently. But the overall goal of comprehension is that you have internalized whatever you read to the point where you can have a discussion about it. So those are our big five. And like I said, I'm going to go through each one in detail. I wanted to make this episode a little shorter than other ones are going to be because I didn't want to overload you. We're just meeting. I don't want to, you know, I can't give you all my baggage right away, but I am so excited for you to be joining me. I am so excited for us to be taking this journey together. I'm so excited for us to just learn more about how the brain works in a very easy to manage way. And, just help get some better readers, get people excited about reading. You know, that was, people would say that, well, if you give a kid a book that they're excited about, then they'll read. Well, yes, but if they don't understand the words, it doesn't matter how exciting the book is. So I want to help you get them to where they do understand the words, and then the excitement comes as well. And it is important to surround kids with text, but not if it's going to be frustrating. We want to lower the frustration, and I am just going to take you on this journey, and I'm so excited for you to come with me. And I know I've said that like 72 times, but that's really just how excited I am. And I look forward to speaking with you next time on What the Phonics. Now, if you're anything like me, all these words that I'm saying are already starting to be slightly intimidating, but have no fear. I'm giving you the science behind it so you know that this is something that people have been studying for a long time. But trust me, as we go down this journey, I will break it down for you. And if you remember the name of it, cool. But if not, the most important thing is that we know the strategies and the procedure and the way that we should be teaching reading. So do not let this turn you off. Do not let this intimidate you. I am here with you the whole way on this journey.